the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, State Rep. Joy Walters joining us. Ms. Walters, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you all for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, I told Aaron, I think this is a fantastic idea. Ruben and I both do arrest mugshots each week, and then we also get reports every week, domestic violence arrests, and a lot of them are multiple arrests. This, I applaud you for to explain this domestic violence registry and how it will work.
Sure. The domestic violence registry, it is slated to help to capture those people who have multiple felony offenses dealing with domestic violence. And so the person would have to register within 5 business days with the sheriff's office and pay the fine and be on this registry website. And the implementation of the website will be done by state police as well as the Louisiana Advocacy for Domestic Violence, that association. They are committed to assisting state police with this type of implementation because it's going to be a little bit different from the sex offender registry that we already have because we want to be intentional about keeping the identity of the survivors who are victims sealed as well as of children as well. So we're navigating that, and the advocacy group, they are going to assist state police with that portion of the implementation.
So the full names might not be included? Is that what you're saying?
No, the full names will okay. be included.
When you say multiple, yeah. When you say multiple offense, what do we mean? 2, 3? What's your goal?
Two or more.
And you're calling it the Purple Promise Law. You know, I've done some domestic violence work in the past. Purple is, of course, the color for preventing domestic violence, and so I love to see that. How long will a person have to stay on this registry?
So they will have to be on the registry if it's their first offense, not their first offense, rather, but if it's their first time on the registry, then they will be on the registry for up to 1 year. However, we've set it in tiers. So if you have to appear on this registry again, you will be on there at that point. We have some amendments, so you'll be at that point on there for a lifetime.
Okay. I saw part of it said 5 years if you had to get on there a second time, but y'all are still working out the details, I guess.
Yes. And we just decided to go from appearing 1 year if you have this, if this is your first time on the registry. However, if you have been on the registry more than once, which means that you offended again and now you're back on this registry again, so 2 times on the registry, we are saying that it is for a lifetime.
And the fee is $250, and I love the fact that part of it's going to go to help prevent domestic abuse. That's your goal, right?
Absolutely. Prevention is the ultimate goal, and we have to make sure that the organizations who are out here doing the work and the great people like, you know, yourselves can continue to do that work. And it takes funds.
Have you gotten any kickback on the bill?
I have. The implementation of it is the main concern as far as cost. So I am negotiating with the Sheriff's Association as well as with state police so that we can get some of those costs down. And what is happening statewide is that we are seeing increase across parishes in domestic violence.
Absolutely.
Abuse. And so 10 years ago, when former Representative Patricia Smith ran a very similar bill, it was going to do the same thing, create a domestic violence registry for multiple offenders. Her fiscal note was a lot less than it is what they're proposing to today. But the demand is increasing. And so we're in conversation right now. How do we meet this demand with intentionality, reality, but also how do we fund this for the long term? Because our goal is to help victims, help survivors, help families just become healthier all the way around. And so we want to be sure to implement this with intentionality.
I'm looking at your bill and all the crimes that can be included: violation of protective order, cyber stalking, stalking, domestic abuse, battery. We have to remind people that domestic violence is not just a partner against partner or spouse. It could be a child against a parent or vice versa, or a brother against a brother. There's a lot that comes under this umbrella, right?
Yes, there is a lot that comes under this umbrella. And so I would say, hey, you have to tread lightly, do your best to control your emotions. If you have inclinations of abusive behavior, go seek help. Go to counseling, go get prayer, whatever it takes for you, because, you know, we cannot continue to play around with domestic violence.
Our police chief, Wayne Smith, I'm not sure if you're aware, went before our Caddo Commission on Monday and really laid out how this is a problem. The numbers, while other crimes are down, this is one of the crimes that keeps going up. And he talked about, and personally, his personalized story, how it impacts young children, how when children grow up in a home like that, this might help intervene. This might help change things. Is that your hope?
Oh, absolutely. We want to see the trend instead of trending upward. We want to see the trend go down. And so that ultimately is the goal, is that the trend goes down, more lives are saved, more children are growing up with their parents in the home with them. And so that is the goal, is to reduce this public safety, public health hazard.
Well, mm-hmm. Representative, thank you for joining us this morning, and good luck on your efforts.
And keep us posted.
And
yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thank you all. I will keep you all posted. Thank you for the work you do.
You bet. Thanks.
Uh-huh. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Micah McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You had in the news the story about the Ten Commandments in Caddo Parish. Now, Caddo Parish was planning on waiting until next year to implement posting all the, you know, the Ten Commandments in all the classrooms. But now that you say they're going to post them this spring, what caused that change?
Well, apparently Bessie passed policy last week or within the last 10 days saying that schools should post these. The Ten Commandments in the classrooms. So Caddo sent out a memorandum or a note to schools telling principals to get these posters up ASAP. And they were sending the posters out to all the schools. They have to be up in Caddo classrooms no later than March 27th, according to this memo that was sent. And it is interesting because a statement to Keel on March 5th from Superintendent Burton said, we're making plans to have the required displays in place for the start of next school year.
Right.
With a district our size, we want to implement it in an organized and consistent way across all campuses. Given the instructional disruptions we've had this year, we also didn't want to add something new to teachers and principals' plates during the final stretch of the school year. Implementing it over the summer allows us to do it efficiently without taking focus away from instruction.
Right.
Now, I don't know that the Bessie policy mandates this school year, but I guess they're interpreting it to mean that Bessie's adopted policy, that you're to implement this. This is the law.
Apparently by Friday.
Yeah, that's actually this Friday. You're absolutely right. I forget about that.
I know, it sounds like such a long way away.
I know.
March 27.
Bossier Schools told us at the time they were moving forward already, and they'd already started getting them up. They may actually have them all up. But we all know this isn't the end of this, because there's going to be a lawsuit. Once they're up in a classroom, somebody's going to file a lawsuit and say that these don't belong. So we'll see. You know, I'm not sure where we'll go from there, but it is a little bit of a change of heart. I think it's at the direction of Bessie. I mean, if I were to ask Keith Burton that today, he would say, yes, it's at the direction of the Bessie policy that has recently been adopted. We all know the governor, essentially, in late February, I believe, ordered all the superintendents to move forward on putting the Ten Commandments up. But, I mean, he doesn't rule the local schools. They can do kind of what they want. So, but he had sent that directive out, you know, telling schools to put the Ten Commandments up because it's now the law.
Well, knowing Keith Burton as I do, I can't imagine him being opposed to this. I don't want to put words or speak for him.
Right.
But I wouldn't think he would be opposed.
I don't know that he would speak either way. Mm-hmm. I think he probably would want to be neutral on, you know, he doesn't want to, you don't want a superintendent to come out and say, I want God in the classroom. I mean, that'd be great if he would, and some might, but everybody sues these days.
Why? Well, and you know it's coming.
And we know it's coming. Absolutely. So, you know, the legal fight on this is not over.
It's just beginning.
And I got sent the email that went out to schools. Someone sent it to me. I don't know that they've really publicized it. I was looking through my email today to see, has Caddo Schools sent this out to the media to alert us that, hey, we're moving forward on this? And I couldn't find it. So I think they were trying to do it kind of quietly, send it out to their principals and say, get these posters up.
They don't know you very well, do they?
Well,
or maybe they do, and that's why they didn't send it to
you. And you know, it came to me, it didn't come from me, from a school teacher. It came to me from, I'm not going to name names, but it came to me from somebody who is married to a school teacher. And I thought, okay, do they not understand I'm going to get this from somebody?
Right,
I'm going to find it out. And other media will too. I mean, you'll have lots of reporters that have been here a while who will get sent this, or they have close relationships with teachers or principals, and they'll see this. So you need to just do a news release and put it out there and say, hey, we're moving forward. We've had a change of heart, and maybe it's not a change of heart. Maybe it's we're following Bessie's directive now. We got the directive. Mm-hmm. We can't wait. We thought we were going to be able to wait. We're not allowed to wait anymore. So we're moving forward, and here they come. I would like to see a copy of the poster. And I'm going to request it today. I want to see a copy of what is going up in Caddo Schools.
Right. Is there a standard or one poster being issued for the entire state?
I bet it is. But are there other historical documents beside it?
Right.
Because that's what everybody claims will make it legal. You know, if you put the Declaration of Independence beside it and other documents, what's going to be up on our Caddo classrooms? And I would like to see a copy of that and see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But they're sending the posters out from central office. I mean, here's the poster. Here's what you put up. Don't deviate. So, and they've given them that order. Here's what you put up. Principals are urged to, you know, get with your staff and explain to kind of where this needs to be in the classroom, et cetera. So,
yeah, is it like a standard 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper? Is that
no clue.
Yeah,
no
don't
clue.
Know.
Don't know. I want to see it. I want to look at it. I'm going to probably request one so we can have one. And I'll pay for it if I need to. Doesn't matter. I'm going to request one today and say, hey, I would like a copy. Can you mail it to me? Or I'll pick it up, whatever. But they're going up. And they'll be up by the end of this week. All classrooms will have them up. And then we roll into testing here pretty quickly after that. So, yeah, it's a busy time for teachers. Real busy time.
It was interesting to me that the state Supreme Court said, or was it the Supreme Court that said, well, we can't rule against this because there's been no lawsuits.
It was one of the federal appeals courts, yeah.
Federal appeals court. And so, I don't know, that's just interesting to me that they said, go ahead and do it. And then the lawsuits will come.
Well, because...
And then we'll look at it.
Can you sue me? Can you sue me for something I'm going to do?
Right.
No,
this is Minority Report pre-crime.
Here's what you're getting ready to do. I'm going to stop you from doing it. You got to do it first.
But the lawsuit against the law itself and not the action of actual posting them.
Right.
Wasn't that the initial lawsuit?
Well, that's not what they determined. They determined that it was, you know, you're claiming it's a historical, that you're going to put up historical documents and not religious documents. So it's a big fight, but we shall see. Now we'll know, you know, they're up in Bossier schools. So somebody is probably, ACLU is promising to sue. So it is on the way.
Of course they are.
It's on the way.
Speaking of on the way, we're going to talk with Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler after the news top of the hour. There's some really exciting news coming out of Bossier.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him. Dr. Jeffrey Sado spoke to us about the Senate race. Also very interesting. Hear what he's got to say in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Dr. Jeffrey Sado breaks down the Senate race coming up just after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and be sure to download the free Keel app.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Professor Dr. Jeffrey Sado joining us. Dr. Sado, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us here.
Howdy, y'all.
Thank you, sir. A debate has now been scheduled. It's going to be April 28th. Julia Letlow is confirmed, and Fleming has confirmed. Do you think Cassidy will show up?
Boy, that's a good question, because the way I understand how this works, or how it's all kind of evolved, this particular issue, is that Cassidy wanted three debates, and he wanted them with Letlow, and he said he would show up at debates where Letlow was going to be. It didn't seem to bother to invite Cassidy or ask him to be part of it. Again, so what Maroon Griffon has done here is basically he got Letlow to agreed to a debate, and Fleming, yes, of course, as well. Now it's on radio, but you know, possibly what could happen to kind of make it on TV or video, let's say, is that Moon, I think, has capability to have cameras in studio, so that it could actually be streamed over the internet. And so now there's a date. There's a possibility of video streaming. Letlow is there. This apparently meets all the qualifications that Cassidy laid down to have a debate. So the ball's in his court now. The reason why he may not do it is because, first of all, Fleming's going to be there, and he didn't, he didn't specifically rule him out, but he certainly didn't want to include him. And then secondly, I don't know how eager he's going to be on the same broadcast as Moon, because Maroon Griffon has been kind of he's let his feelings be known about Cassidy, and they're not very complimentary.
Well, he calls him Psycho Bill, for one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't want to go there, but yeah, you did. So good for you.
Regularly. Now, are all three candidates going to be in the same room, or is it going to be on the phone? Do you know how that's going to work logistically?
Yeah, the intention, I think, is for them to be there in the studio.
Okay.
Which, as you all know, works best on radio anyway.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, that I think that's the intent. We'll see how that is worked out. But, yeah, that's what I gather.
Well, I think Cassidy's going to show up. I don't think he's going to miss this opportunity. He knows it's high profile. And it would not be a good look if he doesn't show up.
Yeah, and I think your second reason there is why to avoid. You know, again, it looks like everything has been set up the way he wants it, so it would the optics would be really terrible if he didn't show up. So, yeah, I think he's going to be ashamed of doing it, let's say.
Okay, but would you, going in, if you're Cassidy, would you have a little bit of trepidation in that, is the room going to really be fair to me?
Well, sure. I mean, given Moon's demonstrated attitudes, now he says, from what I heard, is that he's going to have someone else from like a Lafayette TV station or something that's, you know, kind of well-known guy. He'd actually be the guy that's asking the questions and all. But yeah, it would be on Moon's program. And again, Moon's kind of made his feelings clear about Cassidy.
Go ahead.
Why is Cassidy avoiding Fleming? What's the problem there?
Well, I think Fleming could launch or steer the debate into directions that Letlow wouldn't, particularly certain votes on certain things. Letlow, to some degree, is also handicapped by some of the votes that she's made, you know, in terms of budgetary choices and the like. Also, you know, you look at the various scorecards that interest groups put out about voting rights for these people, and really, Cassidy's and Letlow's are fairly similar. I mean, not exactly the same votes, but a similar range. Let's say 100 is all conservative votes. They'll be in the 70s, whereas Fleming's in the 90s, and so that would give him more room to maneuver to try to steer the conversation so that there are attacks on certain votes that Letlow also would be, quote, guilty of. So I think he's got a little more latitude. And so, another thing is that incumbents, typically they don't want to share the stage with challengers because it puts challengers, it makes them seem like they're on equal footing with the incumbent. And there's a little less of that with Fleming because he's been out of Congress. He's state treasurer. He's not in Congress. So he'd be elevated a little more, so to speak, than Letlow would be by Cassidy appearing on the same stage with both of them. So yeah, I think he'd be more hesitant to have Fleming there. Maybe that's why he didn't invite him, so to speak, with his request. But yeah, I think he'd much rather have Letlow there and only there, and not left Fleming.
Talking with Dr. Jeffrey Sado. Dr. Sado, you're talking about calling votes into question. Cassidy has already attacked Letlow on her stock trading. Do you think that comes up? And does that actually hurt Letlow?
I think it does, in the sense that it is the appearance of unethical behavior. You know, there are questions about just, you know, what the timing was and just how late she was and all this stuff. But, you know, certainly, again, when you have verifiable reports of this, that's something that can be very easily distilled into a sharp, short message. So it is effective in that sense. Now, you know, some people might think, you know, well, she made money trading stocks. Good, you know, so good for her. She knows what she's doing. But I think it's a net negative overall.
We typically, in Senate races, we have more than one debate. Will Letlow do another? Will she do a statewide televised debate? And if not, why is she shying away from that?
Well, I think in that circumstance, it's because some of the things we were just talking about are going to come up. Again, you know, fair or unfair, that's what's out there. So, and you know, she's kind of got the aura of incumbency as well, being a member of the House. So it's not that imperative for her. And, you know, if we look at this from the dynamics of the race so far, if Fleming's not the front runner, she's probably the front runner. And so front runners will tend to avoid debates because it's at debates that sometimes very silly things are said. And you can, if you're the person in the lead and you say something dumb, that's something that can just wipe out your lead right there. So People who are heading these kinds of races, they tend to, they want to conserve where they are. They don't want to take any risks. And a debate is a risk because you never know when something dumb is going to pop out of your mouth and damage your campaign.
Typically, they're going to have a list of topics, right? I mean, they're not going to have the questions ahead of time. I would hope not. But perhaps a list of topics. Is that what you would expect?
Yeah, the questions will be formulated beforehand, and then they'll circulate this broad general. You know, we're going to talk about like these four areas, you know, something like that. That's fairly standard practice. I would expect something like that. In fact, I think it would be demanded, sir, by Cassidy if he ended up participating, because he doesn't want especially any surprises from Moon.
Now, the three major candidates. Letlow, of course, the sitting U.S. Senator Cassidy and Fleming. We were talking earlier, Aaron and I, about, you know, a lot of our audience is never going to forgive Cassidy simply on his vote to impeach Trump. That there's nothing that he will be able to say to win back a lot of those. How do you see that still hurting him? And how do you see this shaking out?
Yeah, it's definitely going to hurt him. And, you know, in part because of the popularity of President Trump. But also, if you look at that whole sequence of events, the whole impeachment thing, it was really, if you're in terms of looking for some kind of, you know, bad crime or something unethical in office or that, it's not there. Now, in the corner of the Constitution, you impeach a president for any reason whatsoever. So, you know, fine, go ahead, knock yourself out if you want to do that. But, you know, and particularly because at one point Cassidy said, well, you know, these are not impeachable offenses. And, you know, if he's talking about being some kind of serious crime in a legal sense, so he was correct. And then suddenly he changes his mind and votes to convict. So, this conveys someone that does not have a lot of political wisdom. Does not, we expect in our elected leaders to be able to make good governing decisions, and this just seems like a really bad one. The impression that you get is that here we are at the end of Trump's first term, and Cassidy decides, all right, well, the Trump phenomenon is over. I'm going to move on and distance myself from it, and that's how I'm going to. Make a political hay out of all of this. And yes, wrong. And now he's paying for it. That's the way it comes across.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that's something that's not going to endear particularly Republican voters to him.
Dr. Sato, thank you so much for jumping on with us, and we appreciate your input, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, speaking of the debate, I'm looking forward to talking to Moon Griffon coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm. I did get a text from him last night when I asked him, is Senator Cassidy going to be joining the debate? I said, is Cassidy in yet? And he texted me last night, no. So Cassidy has not accepted yet.
Okay, so he hasn't like refused. We just don't know yet.
I will have to ask him. Has he turned you down?
Right.
Has he said no? I just asked, is Cassidy in yet for the debate? And he said no. So they may be still negotiating. And it may be, you know, hey, I want 2-minute responses instead of one. I mean, you know, when you get in a big race like that,
right,
everybody wants a little bit. You got to give and take a little bit to every candidate. You know, I want 1 minute. I want two. I want a minute and a half. You know, so you got to kind of negotiate with all of them to kind of compromise a little. Now, whether Cassidy's willing to compromise, he's the sitting senator. You got to remember that, whether you love him or hate him.
No, I understand.
He's the sitting U.S. senator. He kind of gets to make the rules. So, and the others kind of have to comply. Letlow doesn't have to, but, you know, we'll see. Anyway, it's a big topic.
Have you seen this new AI video that's come out with Julia Letlow down in the swamps?
No.
Oh, Julia, and it's a song, and she's kind of singing and dancing, and then they talk about the pipelines going through and her selling out the... Oh, it's unbelievable.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. It's all AI.
Oh, AI in this race is going to be huge. We ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah.
No, this is not trying to... I don't think this is trying to go, this is really her doing...
Right.
Because it's all these people with these Julia folders where she's selling out Louis. It's very interesting.
I would not want to be a politician right now in this day and age because of AI, because of what they can do to you.
Again, we go back to the Shreveport mayor's race with Perkins and that video of him sitting in that classroom.
Asking for a job.
Asking for a job. With his voice and his likeness.
They
wow.
can make anybody say anything they want in their own voice.
And it's gone even further since then. The technology just gets better and better every single day.
I mean, I have seen people who like for me, I have, you know, both of my parents are deceased and they're putting pictures of their family members who are deceased in and they're making videos
and coming to life.
And their deceased relatives are coming to life in their own voices, and you type in what you want them to say, like, hello, Aaron, I love you. This is your mom. I love you. And it's your mom talking. It's your mom's lips moving. It's your mom's voice. If you have any kind of recording of your parents, you can put that in, and it can simulate their voice. I mean, it's just gotten crazy.
I don't think I like that.
I mean, imagine what they'll do to Tommy Chandler. He's going to join us after the top of the hour. They're going to do a video of Tommy Chandler saying, I really love Shreveport. Bossier second, but I love Shreveport. They're going to do that to Tommy. Watch.
Well, if that comes out, yeah, we're going to know that's AI.
Yeah. If you got questions for the mayor of Bossier, message us right now, please.
On the Shreveport Security Systems message board, Tommy's going to join us after the news top of the hour. Some very exciting news. In fact, I don't think it's ever been done in Bossier.
Ooh.
It's never been done before.
Ooh.
And he'll share what that is.
Oh, boy. I'm excited.
Top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty. KEEL, and on the free KEEL app, Micah McCarty in studio with Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks
good
for
morning,
making...
my friend Aaron. And
yes.
Mike, I thought you was a friend, but...
I know. I corrected it. Sorry. Thanks for making the drive from... Paradise down to East Texas here and joining us.
I love how you say that, man. That's great. Now we're friends again.
Yeah. Look, we talked a little bit Friday about this. Bossier City, tell us, this has never happened before in this manner. You guys are hiring. Why don't you share this news?
Okay, basically, the count on the total of officers we have is 214 now. And the fire department is 206. And what we're going to do is add 10 more to each department to make it, you know, 224 and 216, which that's never happened before. And I'm so excited because Bossier's getting bigger. We're getting more people coming to the boats and different events that we have in Bossier City. So my main thing and my administration's main thing is safety in Bossier City.
You campaigned on public safety.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Safety. That's one thing that we really, go for on Bossier City. But we're making sure that not only you're safe in police and stuff like that, but also in fire and medical, you know, services and stuff like that also. But I'm so excited about this. This has never happened. I'm glad that the council voted unanimous for it. And they all agree. We all agree that safety is a main point in Bossier.
Where are you going to find these officers? It's hard to find officers these days.
Tell you the truth, we're not that down that much either. We've been finding, I think we got two or three last week. And we're only down like a few. And
are you getting them from other parts of the state? Are you getting them from other agencies nearby?
They're coming from everywhere.
Are they?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, Bossier's great to work for. I mean.
Your starting pay is better than most?
I mean, it's right there. It's pretty good. Yes, ma'am. It's,
okay.
It's right on up there. And this fire is a good.
But you've never put like 10 officers at one time on the payroll. Even when the boats started coming to Bossier, you put five on one year and then five another year. So to bring in 10 officers and 10 firefighters, it's never been done before.
Well, see, if you hire those, if those go to school right now, to the academy now, they won't be ready for another year. Mm-hmm. So that's why we said that we go ahead and get the 10 people now so they'll be ready next year, because there's always people retiring.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that, you know, that change jobs, and or some get sick and ill. But, you know, you got to keep up the amount of people. I just want my citizens to know that we're going to take care of them.
What's the commitment they have to make if they go through the academy? Is it a 2-year commitment to be a Bossier police officer or firefighter? Do you know?
I don't know exactly. They have some incentives that, you know, you can stay there 5 years.
Okay.
Stuff like that. But in Bossier City, just do your job, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, you're going there and they can do their job, and they can do their job. And they do a good job.
Are you keeping up the and I hate to compare Shreveport, but the problem in Shreveport with recruiting police officers is that they're not keeping up with attrition. As people retire or move on to other agencies, they're losing more people than they're able to recruit. Is that a problem in Bossier or no?
No, man. You know, we have people, you know, retiring. At one time, there was a bunch of firemen hired at one time, so they were all eligible for retirement for one time. So that happened pretty much. We already built back up on that. But like, that's another reason why we're getting 10 more people, to be make sure that we have enough people there. Okay.
As far as your relationship, you were talking about you were so glad the council voted unanimously with this. This is basically a new council.
Yes, sir. There's 4 new ones. There's, you know, 3 from the last term. Well, we're working very well together.
I was just going to say you've got a great relationship.
Yes, sir, I have a real good relationship. We are in the communicate. And also my CAO, Shane Cheatham. I mean, he has done a great job with staying in contact with them. He has meetings with them weekly, and you know, there's keeping them informed is what's so good about it. And he talking with them, we always have meetings together. So I'm enjoying what's going on now in Bossier with this council, and what I'm still saying, there's going to be some stuff coming, guys.
Exciting things happening in Bossier.
Give us a hint.
just like I said that one time, the boom. And I mean, there's going to be the boardwalk is coming back, you know, mm-hmm. and it's coming good. And that's all I can say.
Is Bossier going to give the Rougarou some money?
I think that we've already kind of funded them some, haven't we?
Have you?
I don't think.
Have they gotten like a discount on the rent at the Berkshire Grocery Arena or something like that?
That's
or?
Just with that. That agency that runs it, you know.
But philosophically, you're against giving public money to a for-profit business, I would guess.
Well, I think we have a law that we state that we can't, you know, if somebody's getting that, we can't give it to them. You know?
Okay. But they haven't asked, have they? This year, have they come to y'all and said?
Rougarou?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Not to your knowledge?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
No, ma'am. I mean, and if y'all have been to, the games are exciting there. I mean, I've been to a few of them, and the guys hit each other hard. I mean, they have plenty of excitement. There's not a dull time or dead time going
arena
on.
Arena football it's different from the NFL. They have movement going on before the snap that wouldn't be allowed in the NFL. It's exciting. There's a lot more passing.
It's fast,
there's a lot more scoring in the league. I was PA for the Battle Wings when they were here. And it's an exciting game to watch. It really is.
Absolutely. Boardwalk, let's talk about that again, because I got a question about Bossier this weekend. I was in Bossier with some friends, and somebody asked me about the open container policy that was just passed by the council. I believe maybe at your request, I'm not sure, and said, is that for somebody that they're recruiting to bring in, or is it for somebody that's down there already? And I said, well, I think the Pickler serves alcohol and has a restaurant, so this could be used for the Pickler, but it could also be used to entice others to come in, right?
Yes, ma'am. And once that ordinance passed, phones started ringing. People wanted to come back. And then In Pickler, they're in multiple different buildings,
mm-hmm.
so that people can, you know, can open container from in between buildings and stuff like that at the Pickler. So that's one of the reasons why we got it with the Pickler. I mean, there's going to be certain areas that you can carry. None in the parking lots and stuff like that. It's off at the limits, but it'll be something like the East Bank, what it'll be.
Are you going to have more news? I'm trying to phrase this where it'll make him have to answer it. Let's see. Who's coming next to the boardwalk?
Some good company, a real good company's coming.
Is it somebody I'm going to love?
Yes, ma'am. It's somebody you probably already know.
Ooh. But they sell food?
Yes, ma'am. And there's a lot of entertainment.
20 questions? Too. Entertainment and food.
Yes, ma'am.
So the focus, this is interesting to me, is shifting because, I mean, brick and mortar retail is just diminishing across the country. This has mm-hmm. nothing to do with boardwalk property or geographic location. It's just changing.
Right.
Online shopping has changed the world. And so the shift is going to be more entertainment.
Yes, sir.
I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, in Bass Pro, they renewed their contract, their lease. Regal, the movie theater,
mm-hmm.
They're thinking about updating that and putting a lot of money in that also. Justin Hagler down there at Simple Church has helped out tremendously getting this thing back up and waking it up down there. He has done such a great job putting this all together. And also we got, the marketing company and all that we got.
Can you stay with us? Because, of course, we got to talk about the Bossier Arts Council.
I love it.
Okay.
Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mayor of the great city of Bossier City, Tommy Chandler, joining us in studio, Mike and McCarty. You had a question?
Bossier Arts Council. The council voted to sever ties. The agency has until the end of this month to get out of the building. There were a lot of questions about that. We need more time. How are we going to do this? We don't know if this belongs to the city or if it belongs to us. What's going to be that process? You're not going to be standing at the door with your hand out asking for the key on March 31st, are you?
No, ma'am. Bossier is not against art. We're for art. And, because it helps the kids. It helps all the citizens do, it's a whole group of people that it benefits.
And there's a lot more that goes on than just plays up in the theater. I mean, mm-hmm. you work with the school systems.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot more.
No, we're not totally against it. No, just the 31st, we're going to be looking for someone else to take it over for the rest of the year to guide for people to have events in that building. Mm-hmm. We can't use the Arts Council anymore because all that ties have been cut. But we got to have someone in there to keep on the things that are already booked for the rest of the year.
And this will be a city employee.
Yes, ma'am.
Who will come in and run the East Bank scheduling and do all the other art things that are going on.
Yes, ma'am. The Civic Center will be over it right now.
Okay.
Yes.
And the long-term goal of this, I would assume, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is to get the Bossier Arts Council back in compliance and get them back in the building. Is that your hope?
I hope. If they get everything together and get back, yes, ma'am, that'd be good. Or we have someone that will work it into getting it back together and going again. There's a lot of other ideas that we have with the council and myself. We've been talking about for the Arts Council, and we're hoping that that's going to come to flourish.
Any discussions about a merger with the Shreveport Regional Arts Council, that one big entity run all the arts for both communities?
I mean, Bossier can take care of itself. I mean,
that's a no.
But there's events that have already been scheduled.
Right.
We don't want to lose.
No, and I would like to have some more theater, some theater stuff down there and, some opera, how some people like to opera and different things and that kind of music and the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's also inclusive of the plaza across the street. That's an underutilized facility as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, they were over that too, taking care of, booking things into that. There's a lot that the can happen down there, that it's going to happen. We got some ideas on it. And March 31st will start it off.
Mayor Chandler, there are those that I get messages from, and, you know, the social media warriors are like, well, they've already got our $80,000. They got $80,000 for this year. Are we going to have any idea on how they spend that city money for this year?
I don't know if we can audit it or anything like that, but they do have money left over in there. They told us at the last council meeting that they had some money left over.
Will they have to return any of the money if they're no longer working with the city?
You know, I don't know that legal answer.
I think they're going to have to use some of it for the move, I would assume, huh?
Well, I mean, if they get, I don't know if they can use it for the move. I mean, this is more for the what's happening in the building. So, okay. I don't know if
the implementation of the programs.
I don't think they can use it for moving.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that money can be left over to help. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I'm sorry that I don't know all the legal.
The council also passed a measure saying that from this moment forward, if you're any agency that's not in compliance, you can't get city money. It might impact an agency like the United Way. I assume you support that ordinance they passed.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, if you're not, you know, up to snuff, you can't get, I mean, why give you money if you ain't gonna be able to handle it or take care of it, you know? So, Boulder City's not against a bunch of, you know, tax-free businesses and stuff like that. We're there to help everybody we can.
This got asked of me. I'm sure it's gotten asked of you. How did we not know they were not in compliance for 3 years? Can you explain that?
I mean, of course, I have so much coming to me. I don't know. I didn't research it every day of their money. Once you give somebody the money, you always say, you know, they're going to take care of it. But after 3 years, it come to audit that they wouldn't. So, I mean, to tell you the truth, I'm sorry that I didn't keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other things that, you know, bigger fish I need to be watching after. But my people found it, and they took care of it.
Okay, well, a lot of things that are happening, a lot of exciting things. I know you wish you could share more.
Yes.
But I know with... With the boardwalk, there's things that are going
to be
happening.
There's a lot of things with boardwalk, and there's exciting. The restaurant Brian is going to go into the Pickler, so you can have a restaurant in pickleball, and there'll be beverages and everything down there.
It's just tough when you know that I can't really talk about this yet because you don't want to violate any trust. And, yeah, I understand that's difficult.
Let me give you a kudos real quick because I saw an incident that involved your Bossier police officers Saturday night. And I'm going to tell you what, to watch professionalism in the face of people that were drinking and that were belligerent, I saw it was a female officer and a male officer. And I'm telling you, Tommy, I was like, kudos. They were calm. They were forceful. And they took care of the problem and got it out of there. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. They did a good job.
Yeah, that brings chills up my back. Because, I mean, I am very, very proud of all our police officers. They do a damn good job. Mm-hmm. And so does the fire department. I am very proud. And it makes me feel so good to be the mayor of a city that I work with people that are, you know, they love their job and they work, they do their job correctly.
Mayor of Bossier City,
the
Louisiana.
Great city of Bossier
City. The great city of Bossier City. And that's the official name, by the way. The city of Bossier City.
Yep, it definitely is.
Tommy, thank you so much.
Appreciate you
coming out and talking
thank
to
you.
Us. Moon Griffon joining us in about 10 minutes, breaking down his Senate debate coming up. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Senate debate coming up on the Moon Griffon Show. Letlow has committed. Fleming has committed. Is Cassidy going to be there? Moon will let us know what he knows right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Host of the Moon Griffon Show, heard 9 to 11 every Monday through Friday here on Keel. Moon Griffon joining us. Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We are wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, this is exciting. First of all, tell us the date again of this debate.
Supposed to be April 28th. I got tired of watching it, so I came up with a day. I sent out an email to the three candidates, and two of them responded fairly quickly, and the other one hadn't responded yet. So, I'm used to doing interviews. It's a Republican closed primary. I think we're a good place to be. And I'm glad I'm going to have at least two. We still hope Cassidy will come.
So Julia Letlow has committed. Fleming has committed, but you still have not heard from Cassidy or his people on whether or not they're going to be there.
No, they when we emailed them the first time, I texted them the first time, they said his email address. We sent it to him, and they never responded. We're going to send it out again to them. They're more than welcome to come. And the problem is, of course, Tyler Bridges and the Devil's Advocate writes a story. Basically, he gets Cassidy an out. I call him a name and all that stuff. So he tried to write an article. I'll go over today. He basically says Cassidy don't need to go because who I am. But, you know, think about this, Mike. Anybody that would do a debate, any moderator, anybody that would ask questions will have prejudice. They will. If you let LPB ask people or somebody from a Devil's Advocate or somebody from a TV station, everybody's got their own angle. I think I'd probably be more fair to anybody. If the truth is not.
Now, are you going to be asking the questions, or are you having other reporters come in and assist?
I'm going to ask questions, too, but I am working on a second person to ask questions.
So there,
got somebody from North Louisiana that I may get to do it from a TV station.
Okay.
So there will be another moderator asking questions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm not going to there's no giving of questions. And I think the way we'll do it, we'll ask questions where they all have to answer.
Interesting, because Jeff Satto told us he would expect that Cassidy would require the questions ahead of time.
Well, then Bill Cassidy won't be on then.
So you're not giving anybody the questions. Will you give them topics? Here's the topics we want to discuss.
I'm gonna finish formatting it this week, which is really gonna be a basic format like we always see on debates. It's gonna be a couple minute open statement, couple minutes closing statement, ask questions, 2 minutes to answer, a minute to respond. We can follow up with questions as well if we choose to. It's really, to be honest with you, Aaron, you guys do it every day. Y'all really good at it. I don't know how good I'm at it, but I'm at it. But I'm just going to ask questions, you know, and they can answer however they want to answer. It's not going to be an innuendo and all that stuff. It's just going to be questions. Look, nobody else has put it together. I got two of the three candidates, and we're going to do this. And be honest with, can I be honest with y'all?
Please do.
Debates are not what they used to be. I've even said this. Not having debates is not a bigger deal like it was back then. Example, when we do this, it's going to be on a radio live. It's going to be on the internet live. People are going to be able to watch it from their telephones and their computers. I'm going to have the video in there where you can watch them if you like to watch TV. So Bill Cassidy ought to come because you're going to be able to see it. Most people don't watch the debates. It's a morning debate at that. So people are going to have to watch it on different screens or listen to it on the radio. I don't think it's a big deal at all, to be honest with you.
So it's because Cassidy is pushing for three televised debates. And Letlow has not committed to that, but she has committed to this, and it'll be streamed, so it will be on screens.
Correct.
But now, and I think part of the problem, and as you're well aware, you've been a harsh critic of Senator Cassidy.
Absolutely. And if you go read the newspapers, they've been a harsh critic on some of these candidates as well. Nobody goes back and read it. Let me take y'all back to a little history on debates with Cassidy. When he ran against Mary Landrieu, okay, Mary Landrieu was the one demanding debates. He knew he was going to win that race. He did one. He did one debate. Now he's asking for three, okay? Let's fast forward. He's there term, and y'all very own Shreveport mayor, what was his name, Peterson?
Arsenault.
No, not him. The guy also took the place for Adrian.
Oh, Perkins. Oh, yeah. Perkins.
I'm sorry. I don't remember his name. But anyway, Perkins begged for debates. Cassidy said no debates. And then Bill Cassidy jumped up and said, I'll do a debate only if all 14 candidates are on the stage. So here's a guy who never wanted to debate, but he's getting really beat bad right now. He wants three debates. So you see, it's kind of funny. Everybody's worried about me, and I've been a critic, and I've been harsh on him, which is true. He deserved every bit of it, by the way. Everybody's worried about that part, but what about Cassidy's history of not wanting to debate to now? And so I just think we ought to put this in perspective. It's a Republican-closed primary. Now, I would agree with y'all, if this was a primary with Democrats and Republicans, you know, you may not want to do it on the Moon Griffon show, but being all Republicans, I don't see the problem.
Okay, when's the last time Cassidy's been on your show?
It was before the year he ran when Bush, in 2020.
And you've asked him back.
He came on the program many times. He won. Soon as he voted guilty on Trump, he never came back. So that would be 5 years.
Yeah, he's been invited.
Okay, let me get back.
Has he been invited since then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, but let me tell you what happened. So back a couple of years ago, I got a call from their people. I got it in my phone still in a text message. Hey, Cassidy wants to come in. Let's get this right. He wants to come and talk. He wants to go through all this hell with Trump. Would you be in for it? I said, absolutely. I said, he can come, but he's got to come an hour, and he's got to sit in the studio. He's got to come. They said, no problem. We'll set it up. And it faded away. I said, y'all going to come? It faded away. Last September, I got a call from a buddy of mine and said, I got it set up. He's going to come for an hour, just like he wanted to, in studio. I said, great. We started announcing it. The 2 days before he was supposed to come, they called and went, oh, he's busy, got something else to do. Can he just call in for 10 minutes? I said, no. He needs to come for an hour. He had been on this program in 4 years. Mm. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I want him to come sit down and look me eye to eye. And so they said, and then they got mad at me because I wouldn't take a quick phone call. But y'all know the phone calls don't go boom, 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 it's over, and nobody gets something done. Right. So no, come 7 hours.
Yeah, it goes by very fast.
But how are you going to be fair with someone you call Psycho Bill?
How can I be fair? All I'm going to do is ask questions. I'm going to have somebody else asking questions as well. I will refer to Bill Cassidy as Senator Cassidy. I've also said if they wanted to meet with me first, I'd be glad to meet with them.
So you're not going to call him Psycho Bill during, no plans to call him Psycho Bill during the debate?
No, absolutely not in a debate like this. No, now if he had came and do an interview with me, I would have told him that because I'd have let him respond to my face. I'd have been blunt. Everybody that I've given a nickname that's come on the program, I've let him respond.
I'm sure he's got a nickname for you. I'm sure he does.
Well, here's the difference between the names they have for me. I can say theirs on the air. They can't say mine on air. How about that?
Have you given them a deadline on when to respond? Or you?
I didn't give them a deadline at all. No, I did not do that. And besides, this is childish for him to call Letlow out for not wanting to debate. Then when we have a debate with a conservative guy and another Republican that are going to interview him, and all we're going to talk about is the issues. We're not going to talk about what we have a disagreement with. I've watched Republicans go on debates time and time again, and y'all have too, where TV reporters were absolutely rear ends to them. And nobody ever says anything about that. But here comes Moon, who's got a nickname for a guy, and all of a sudden, he's upset about it. I don't feel bad about it at all. None of them have to come.
Will one of the questions be about his vote to impeach President Trump?
You know, that's one of the things I don't know if I'll ask it or not because I hadn't gotten to the Q&A part. I've always said Cassidy would ever come by and tell us why he voted guilty. Because after he voted guilty, and I got it on tape, he said, if y'all knew what I knew, and y'all don't, we know more than y'all, y'all going to come around the way, my way of thinking, because when you see what I saw, you're going to find out I voted the right way. Now, he said that, I didn't.
He's answered that on our show at least 4 times, and we get in trouble for not asking him it anymore. But we've asked him it 4 times, and he's answered it. And his answer's been the same every time, that he he truly believed he was guilty, and that's why he did it.
Guilty of what? I've always said, I understand he voted guilty, but guilty of what? I've never heard him say, what was he guilty of?
I'll send it to you. I don't have it in my brain at the moment, but I have his answer to that, and he explains it. I don't know that I agree with it. I'm like you. I don't know that I agree with him.
So let me ask y'all a question. As I get scrutinized as the guy hosting the program, a guy votes guilty. He never tells us why. He was for Donald Trump. He won. He was against Donald Trump for 4 or 5 years. He said Donald Trump will never be president. I won't vote for Donald Trump. Donald Trump should drop out of the race. Donald Trump wins the race, and now every commercial he runs is pro-Trump. Now, and I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all something. Bill Cassidy has to look in the mirror to find out his problem. It ain't with Moon. I can't beat him. I didn't make him. I can't break him. A nickname is nothing. I'll make him a deal. I won't call him. I'll call him Sir and Mister, and he can call me any nickname in the book he wants during the debate, and I don't care.
Well, they've got a month to decide.
Yep.
Well, absolutely. I have no deadline. If they call me the night before and say, we're coming, he's going to have a spot. We're going to put a spot there for him. Now, I won't embarrass him if he don't come. I'll just move the podium and move it out of the way, and we'll do it with the two people.
Are you still setting up the logistics about how long they each have to respond, and will they get to ask each other questions?
I'm trying to get all that in writing now.
Okay.
This week I'm going to do that to where it's set, but it's going to be no different than any other format.
Okay.
Because remember, if you're doing it on radio, that's one thing. The other thing is, if you're going to do it with cameras and it's going to be on the internet, okay, all that's got to be professional. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming across here as the guy trying to take it over. I just want to hear what the answers are to some good questions.
Gotcha.
Where's it going to be? Not in the studio, then.
Well, what we're going to do is we got a couple options. One of them is we have a big, big conference room. We're not doing this with an audience. We're going to allow the press to come in, but we're going to do it. And it's not going to be a gigantic room, so you're not going to be panning the crowd here. But I probably can't do it in my studio. I really could. If I only have two people, we've got 4 or 5 mics. I really could, but from a logistics point of view and cameras, no, it makes it a little difficult.
We got plenty of room. You can do it in our studio. We got plenty of mics here if you want to move it up here.
Your studio is a lot bigger than what we use here. I thought about that, thought about Baton Rouge as well, but I'm hoping to keep it here. But we're going to get all that worked out this week. And like I said, I hope Cassidy will come. As far as y'all saying what you call it names and all that stuff, I get it, but he had 6 years to come and talk to me about this, and he never did. He never did, and he kept going on national TV blasting the man. So there's a lot of people frustrated. I think he's in deep trouble. That's why he's demanding debates that he wouldn't do in the first 2 months he made.
U.S. Senate debate going to be April 28th, 9 to 11, and
yes,
we are looking forward to it.
Man, okay.
That'd be awesome. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope we pull it off, and I hope we do, but we're planning on it anyway.
Yep. Thank you, Moon.
All right. God bless. Thank y'all as always.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I'm glad you threw out the KEEL studio.
Yeah, Cassidy's not coming. Cassidy's not. If Cassidy doesn't have questions in advance, he's not coming.
Really?
Never in a million years.
That's going to kill it.
Never in a million years. No, not coming. Not going to do it. At least topics with, some suggested questions.
Right.
I agree with Sato on this. They're going to be real careful on, a free-for-all. They're not going to put Senator Cassidy in a free-for-all. Especially if the other candidates get to ask him questions, they're just not going to put him in that situation.
Ooh, like wow.
Each of y'all ask another a question. Not going to happen.
Did he say that? I missed that.
I asked him. He didn't have the format ready yet.
Okay.
No, he didn't have it. He doesn't know. But I know that Cassidy's going to want a rigid, here's how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Sato even said, when we asked Sato last week, is he going to want topics? No, he's going to want questions. He's going to want to know what questions are being asked. And you give him 12, you may only get to 8, but you give him 12 questions and say, here's the ones we're honing in on. Doesn't sound like Moon's prepared to do that at all, which I kind of like. I kind of like bring them in there, let them think on their feet,
right,
and answer the questions. I think you do need to give them topics. I mean, I think they do need to know, are you going to do a crime-fighting segment? Are you going to do an Iran war segment? What are you going to do? What kind of segments are we doing? Because you're only going to be able to get, with three Senate candidates, you're only going to be able to get to really four or five topics, maybe. Well,
right, because one question is going to take 10 minutes or 12 minutes.
Easy to get through all three of them,
right,
and follow-ups that are going to come up during the questions. You're also going to have to plan for disruptions. One's going to try to interrupt the other and go, that's wrong. What she's saying is wrong. That happens. Trust me. Been there, done that.
It goes by fast. Mm-hmm. 101.7 like this. 710 Keel. Seven FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Now, I meant to ask you this Friday. There was you had a story, and in fact, you've got a story on KeelNews.com about there's a growing list of accounts.
Not growing. It's shrinking.
Okay. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then there. Never mind.
It's good news, actually.
Okay, because when you said there's now accounts that still have a balance of more than $10,000 on their water bill, dadgummit, that's disturbing.
What I still don't understand is how they don't get turned off. You know, if your bill goes a month or 2 months, they turn you off.
Right, yeah.
But I say that to tell you that I asked for this same list about 2 years ago, and I got dozens of businesses that were in arrears more than 10,000.
Okay. Yeah, dozens. I remember. Apartment complexes.
Right.
Right.
A ton. And this time when I asked for the list, there are 11. There are now 11. Before there were dozens.
Okay.
Dozens and dozens. And I requested the list again and found that the majority of these 11 are apartment complexes still who have... they're supposed to pay. You pay your rent,
right,
and your water is supposed to be included. They're supposed to pass on that water payment to the city, and some have not. So that's where they are. The worst offenders, I'm trying to figure out. The worst offender was Sanctuary of Shreveport was one of the worst. They owe more than 67,000 still in arrears that they owe the city. Riverside Oaks on Southfield right next to Albertsons. They owe the city $45,000. What I don't get, and I actually have in my possession, I haven't read it yet. They did a full, after the 2024 a document went out that I sent out that they, saying how many owed so much back. And I wasn't the only one. There were a lot of people that were working on that and working on these outstanding water bills. Councilwoman Ursula Bowman asked for a full audit of the Water and Sewer Department and how we're collecting bills. And I never saw that audit. And I'm like, what's the status of that audit? Surely it's done by now. Mm-hmm. And they sent it to me Friday. And I got it Friday. I didn't spend the weekend delving into it because I was doing other stuff. So I'm going to dig into it today and look. But it does show that we have made improvements. And most of these that are on this list, you can see the list again at keelnews.com, they have a payment plan in place. And I do think if you have a home and you've got back water bills, I think they would make arrangements with you as well.
Okay.
But once they get over 10 grand.
Well, that's my question. Why is there not an oversight to go, hey, look, you've reached $5,000 and we don't want to get into another situation?
Well, the problem with that, Mike, is if I were the mayor or if I were the director of water and sewer and I go in to the Riverside Oaks Apartments, and I turn off the water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm turning off the water at the Riverside Oaks. Every one of those people will tell you, I paid my rent.
Right.
I paid my water bill.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you turning off my water? You would end up getting sued. Because those people can tell you legitimately, I've paid my rent. That's supposed to include my water.
Do the bulk of these apartment complexes have what they call the master meter?
That's been the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. And so if you're the head of a city or the head of a water department, I mean, can you legitimately, in your moral heart, could you go turn right. off an entire apartment complex?
Right.
Knowing that those people paid their bill.
Yeah.
And your gripe is with the management or the owners who didn't pass on the bills to you, or the previous owners who perhaps got this in arrears.
So for responsible tenants, I know when somebody say, okay, you're shopping apartments and you see utilities included, that seems to be a benefit, but it might not be.
I would caution people to check and see.
And go, you know what? I'd rather the utilities be in my name.
Right.
And let me be responsible because of exactly for situations like this.
Absolutely. And so when people ask me, you know, why don't they turn them off? I think the city's doing the right thing by some of these folks.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Because the people that would be hurt, it's not going to be the owner. It's not going to be the management company. It's going to be the tenants who paid the bill.
Right.
You know, why would you do that to them?
I mean, a single mom trying to, yeah. two kids and trying to do the best she can, and she's paying her bills.
Center Crossing Apartments on the list. Shreveport Bossier Realty, which I'm sure is an apartment complex or a rental complex. There is one on here that's a weird deal. It's a sewer-only account and owes more than $14,000. They're trying to figure out how they can disconnect the sewer to this home. It's on Cross Lake. Without creating a health hazard to Cross Lake. So that's kind of a weird situation. They're trying to figure out how to do that. But it's interesting because you can see the link to the prior story where there were dozens of people in arrears, and now the current story where there are 11 in arrears.
And some of these are like businesses.
Yeah, I trust that they probably have rental properties. I trust that's what they do. They are...
Okay, I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
They're like it's a realty business or some sort of business that I would assume it is. They rent property somehow, and they just haven't forwarded on the full water bill. And a lot of it sometimes gets into the fact that the apartment complex was sold, and I sold it to you, and you didn't know that. Hey, I hadn't been paying the water bill for a year, so you don't know that until you bought the property. Then you realize. Oh my God! They hadn't paid the water bill for a year. We're on the hook for that.
I wish there was some legal recourse the city could activate when somebody sets up an apartment complex, and then the owner is actually three LLCs away from what's listed on the D or on the property agreement.
Yeah, because the water bill issue is not the big issue. You know, as you and I both know. Blight is the big issue.
Right.
Blight is the problem at a lot of these apartment complexes.
And we can't hold them responsible or make them pay because a lot of times we don't know who the hell they are.
We can't find them. If we do find them, they don't show up for court. You know, they don't respond to legal requests.
Or they live in Mumbai or something.
Right, exactly. And they're just pocketing the money. Somebody is sending the money on. And, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, we've got a vacant, like at the Jolie, we had to move those people out of there. Because it was condemned property. It couldn't, you know, you couldn't live there. It was unsafe and unsanitary conditions. And now it sits there and, you know, it seems every other week there's a fire. And our fire department has to waste their resources going out there and putting out a big fire. And that's not the only one. There are others in town right. that are a problem. Right. It's an ongoing, and it costs too much. The city's budget for demolition, what did he tell us, $600,000? Or I forget what the number was.
If it were $600,000, it was going to take $500,000 to demolish just the Jolie or something.
Just that one, exactly. And so do you spend all your money on one, or do you try to fight blight all around the city? And that's kind of what the mayor's chosen to do. So it's a little bit of a mess. But water bill, we've done big steps forward, big progress okay. on collecting these back water bills. I asked also if there are any in litigation. Are there any that we are suing? And I was told no. So we don't have any that are pending in litigation at this point. So it looks like we're making headway. We're making progress on the ones that are a problem.
I just, again, there seems to be, there should be some mechanism in place to keep it from getting to this point.
It's kind of moving away from the master meter. And that's, I think, what the mayor would like to do. How you do that with all these existing apartment complexes, I don't know. But ultimately, they want to go in that direction so that you're responsible for your bill at your apartment.
Right.
And move away from the master meter. We'll see. I don't know if it'll work.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I think I must be the, I think Ruben is in the same, he's in the same boat with me. He's got the other oar.
Yeah.
I absolutely couldn't give one iota about March Madness.
Wow.
I just don't, if they never had it again, it would not affect my life one way or the other.
Oh, my.
Well, I mean, I'm that way with all teams.
You're that way, right.
Yeah. I really don't care.
I mean, his favorite sport is what?
Supermarket sweep.
Yeah. So, you know, he's not a sports guy.
No, I know that.
If I ask him who won the Super Bowl, no clue.
Not a clue.
But no I'm a sports guy. I think I'm a sports guy. I played sports in high school and love, of course, grew up loving the Saints and
yes, I'm loving and I'm watching the games and I'm watching the games. I'm watching the last 3 minutes of the games. I don't watch the whole game.
Well, see, so
but I'm watching them.
Well,
sorta.
Are you though?
But I watch the LSU Lady Tigers, and I'm gonna tell you what. Parkway's own Michaela Williams is on fire right now.
And I think that's great. Don't get me wrong.
Flauge is on fire right now.
And I'd love for LSU to win.
And to watch Flauge, who's a senior, the game they had this weekend was at the PMAC. It's her final game at the PMAC. The crowd had signs for her.
Oh.
The crowd was cheering her. She lit it up. Her assists, her scoring, and then when they pulled her, Kim, at a strategic moment after a timeout, pulls her out of the game to the crowd roaring.
Oh.
And she busts down in tears. I mean, just to watch that was like, oh, just incredible moment. And love, love, love seeing that. And so, yeah, they're moving on to the Sweet 16. I'm still thinking Duke's going to win it all for the men, but... You know, there have been some Cinderella teams and that have surprised me, but yeah, I watch a lot of it. I really do. I enjoy it.
I heard there was not going to be a repeat. So was it Florida that won last year?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think they got knocked out. So,
okay.
I think again, don't quote me because I'm not the one to be quoted.
We do a company-wide March Madness pool or whatever.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, that you could win $1 million at. You know, if you got all the games right.
Yeah,
you got every game.
One.
Yeah,
oh,
which is gone. Nobody's there. But I'm like in 440th place, so I'm not doing real well. I ain't winning no cash this year. It ain't happening for me. But
well, how many employees do we have?
Probably 450 or something. Okay. No, we have more than that.
Well, then I'm 451.
I'm joking.
I didn't even enter.
Yeah, there's a bunch that didn't enter. But yeah, I'm pulling in the rear. Pulling in the rear. It's not good.
And I'm not saying I hate it. I just don't care.
I enjoy watching college ball. I really do. And it's exciting to watch. They travel a little too much for me still, but
what
you
do
know,
you mean?
Walk.
They like traveling.
Yeah, they don't.
Okay.
They let them take two steps.
Thank you.
I don't
the
like
NBA
that.
Does that.
Yeah, the NBA is like, three or four. Yeah.
I'm like, how are you not calling traveling? They must have changed the rules.
I know. I get it. It's and they get these, they get to appeal like calls and all that. And then they go over there and they rewatch. I kind of like that part of it too. Like if you miss a call, let's fix it. Let's get it right. So I do like that part of it a lot.
So they get replay
they have replay in these basketball games.
Okay.
And they're pretty quick about it. It you know, which is nice. They're doing it in college baseball too. They're doing replays on, you know, outs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I like having the replay there. As long as you're quick about it, I'm good. If you're going to take 10 minutes.
But now, okay, say Major League Baseball. They now have the camera that can call balls and strikes.
Yep.
And apparently more accurate than people.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Are you going to still have an ump back there?
So, yeah, do you have an ump back there?
I imagine you have an ump to, you know, like to put new balls into play. Because, like, if a ball gets too scuffed up, the ump carries a bunch of balls in his pocket, tosses it out to the pitcher. I imagine he'll be there for balls. And I guess he – and obviously he has to make the calls on, you know, plays at home. If they're, because I think the umpire, the robot umpire is calling balls and strikes.
Okay,
it's not going to call, did you slide in safe at home? You know, the human referee will have, umpire will have to do that. So they still have somebody back there.
It's all a changing, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. Big time difference. So.
And it's like the other night I went to the Mudbugs game and I ended up sitting, Robert still does the Mudbugs games.
Yes.
Good gosh, 20-something years.
Long time since they started.
It's just fascinating, and it was so much fun to sit down there and visit with him, and he's also in there with some game officials.
Right.
The official scorer and timekeeper that are also in that little booth. And one of them commented because they have like an iPad. They have a couple of iPads in there where the timekeeper operates the scoreboard and stuff, but there was another one with monitors on the goals.
Oh, yeah.
And they can tell now whether or not a goal is scored. And one of the guys was like, yeah, they don't need me anymore. Because they have the cameras replay on the goals. And
The technology's changing faster than we can even imagine.
Interesting.
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Want to win 7 FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty.
Our listeners are pretty genius, I'm going to tell you. Just got an email. We got an email regarding the water bill discussion. This comes from one of our listeners who said, what a brilliant idea. Have apartment complexes post a bond to cover 6 months or more of estimated water bill. And as soon as the complex is 30 days past due, the bond is payable. And notices go out to all lessees that the complex has not paid its bill and the water will be shut off in 6 months. Also pass a city ordinance that leases may be terminated by the lessee at any time without penalty once that notice goes out.
That's what I was going to say. If a complex is in arrears, that will nullify your lease and go, look, I'm out of here.
I'm out.
I'm going to go find someplace else to live.
I don't need to give you notice. I can pack my stuff and
go.
Pretty good idea. Pretty good idea.
I like that idea a lot.
And that way the city has some of the money they can hold on to. If you're in arrears, they can go, okay, we're calling in the bond. We're going to seize this bond money. And then they get some of the money back, and they'll have to.
So, how much would that amount to, like a bond? How does that work?
It would be. It depends on how many apartments you have.
Okay.
Whether it's 10% of each unit's water bill. I mean, they'd have to come up with a figure, and then you'd pay certain amount of money to the city in a bond that would be held to the side. And if you're in arrears, then guess what? The city can then take that bond money. I don't speak that language, so
it's like a big deposit.
Yeah, it would be like a big deposit that would have to go to the city, and it's a shame that it has to might have to come to something like that because of all the good apartment complexes that do
right.
Because you can't just say, oh, one apartment complex has to do this.
Yeah,
you'd have
to
make them all do it,
right?
And then they'd all be griping and moaning. Hey, we've never had a problem. Why are you making us do that? And maybe you start with the ones who are a problem. And
because
say,
then that would be, I have no idea, $50,000 or
no idea,
$100,000, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's money that's just tied up.
Yep.
It's gone.
Exactly.
And at what point do you get it back? when you sell the complex, if you have, I mean, that's money that's just gone.
It's locked up. You got to put a, and I don't know that how much it would be. I have no idea. But it would be good faith money that the city wouldn't get in such arrears with these apartment complexes that are deadbeat. You know, that some of them are just deadbeat and they just haven't been paying. Now, we don't have nearly as many now as we did.
Mm-hmm.
We have made huge progress. I want to make that real clear. But we still have at least 11 that are in arrears of more than 10 grand. And if I lowered that number to 5 grand, I bet that number would go way up again. But I don't know. I the margin 2 years ago when I did it was 10 grand, so I did the same thing this time.
And,
so.
And the good thing about that is there's no lawsuits pending by the city, and that they have worked out some type of payment arrangement with these that are in arrears.
Absolutely. They've worked it out, and they have been paying. They sent me, actually, here's what they owed, here's what's now in arrears,
mm-hmm.
and we've worked out a payment plan. They kind of sent me what's the progress with each one of them, which I appreciate. Now, it took me a long time to get this list. I'm going to tell you, I have been bugging Tom Dark about this for several months. Bugging and bugging and bugging. He'll be the first to tell you I have been bugging him. And the mayor, too.
Sorry,
the mayors get attached to that. But I'll follow up once every 3 weeks. Hey, I'm waiting on this list. Hey. But they kept having a crisis. They had the freeze. They had the, you know, the water problems.
Right.
They kept having crises. And so I didn't bug them while they were having a crisis. I understood. And I was patient. And then finally, this last week, after we got through with the water issues, I went, hey, I've been waiting patiently.
Right.
And then they jumped on it and got it to me. So anyway, it's way better than they were doing. I'm going to tell you, they've made progress.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we're going to talk about Caddo Parish changing their minds, if you will, on the Ten Commandments policy.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Keith Burton this morning. We'll kind of explain what he's doing now.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Caddo Parish changes their policy on posting the Ten Commandments. Superintendent Keith Burton told us, a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. they were going to wait until the next school year because of the problems that they've had this past school year with the ice and the shutdown and school closures and things like that. They said, we're just going to wait and do it over the summer and have it ready for next year. But that's changed
their mind, and it's as a result of Bessie took action, I believe, last week and gave the schools some guidance on, here's our policy, here's the law.
This is state law now.
Yep, we need to comply with the law.
Right.
So Caddo sent out to all their principals and all their schools either Friday or I'm not sure what day it went out, but I got a copy of it over the weekend saying that the posters would be going out now. They need to be up and in every classroom by the end of this week.
Mm-hmm.
So the posters are in the schools. The principals have been told to put them in every classroom. And I asked Keith Burton this morning. He was in meetings, so he couldn't join us, but he did send me a text. He said the posters went out last week. Everyone got them. Yes, they've decided they're going to put them up after Bessie sent out guidance. We wanted to make sure we follow it in a timely manner. And it was absolutely the result of the Bessie action. And I asked for a copy of the poster, and he's going to send it to me.
Because it's interesting, he said they decided.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And essentially, it's the law now.
And right, it's state law.
I don't know if the law says, you know, here's the deadline to do it because of the legal proceedings that were going on. But, you know, we all know someone's going to sue. Once the poster goes up, someone's going to sue. And I got sent a copy. I don't know that this is officially the poster that went out, but it looks like it is. It says at the top of it, religion's role in American public education. It's got the Ten Commandments. It's got a couple of other things beside it that are kind of historical type documents. And
all on the same poster.
All on the same poster.
Ah,
and at the very bottom, it says, note, this is the version of the Ten Commandments upheld by the Supreme Court in Van Orden versus Perry, but different faith traditions adopt different versions. So it may not be the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, if you read it, it does read a little different than what you might be used to from your Ten Commandments.
Ooh,
it's a little bit different.
I wonder if that's going to open up for other lawsuits now, going, you've edited the Word of God.
Like one of them says, thou shalt not make to thyself any graven images. The verbiage on that, I've never heard that in the Ten Commandments, but that's apparently the version of the Ten Commandments they've agreed. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's see. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Some of these are standard. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his cattle, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So this is a version of the Ten Commandments that the courts have said is okay. So it's an interesting piece. It's a little different than the Ten Commandments you probably are familiar with.
See, that to me, that I don't know, that just throws up a red flag.
But, you know, you and I are different religions. Do you put up your Ten Commandments or mine? Mine and yours might be a little different. I don't know. Does your Baptist Ten Commandments differ from my Catholic Ten Commandments? Which one's the better one? Which one should be hanging? Someone's going to sue over it, I promise you.
This opens up a whole discussion that we don't have time for.
Yeah.
What 7FM, 710 Keel.
Big Stories of the Day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, we've talked about this before, but this happened to me again last night. One of the pizza companies had a good deal going on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I ordered on the app.
Okay.
Ordered on the app. Didn't even call.
Right.
Didn't call and talk to any employee. Paid on the app.
Mm-hmm.
For pickup, not even delivery.
Yep.
Pickup. I'm going to go to the place and hit the drive-through window. I had contact with one employee who simply turned around, picked a box up off the shelf, and handed it to me through the window.
Yep.
You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, I know where you're going. You're in the drive-thru.
I'm in the drive-thru. Already paid. The only contact was he handed me a box. Aaron, he stood there expectantly.
Oh, really? He was waiting on a tip.
Waiting on a tip. Now, he handed me the box and then stood there with the window open still. And I said, thank you very much.
I'm not tipping
And I drove off.
I'm not tipping you at a drive-through window.
He actually looked surprised.
Wanting a tip for picking up your own pizza is insanity.
It's insanity
because I had no contact with any employee during the entire process.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that 8 seconds at the drive-through window when he handed me a box.
Give me 20% for turning around and handing you a box.
That's not happening.
People are tipping. Stop tipping in the drive-thru.
So that's my question. Are people tipping? Are people tipping?
They're obviously tipping,
When you go through the drive-thru on a prepaid order through the app?
I ordered a turkey sandwich the other day. Go through the drive-thru. They've got a tip bucket in the drive-thru. It's not happening.
Not with me. I'm sorry.
I'm not, and your prices are way higher than they used to be.
And you, like me, are a great tipper.
Good tipper.
If I go and sit down at a restaurant
and you take care of me. I'm hooking you up.
You are going to be very happy at the end of the meal.
Yes. I go to Waffle House. I order a $12 meal. I leave a $20 bill and I walk out. Guess what? That's take good care of me at Waffle House.
That's right. Yes.
And I'll take good care of them. And they know that. Not if I drive through and pick up your schnizzle.
And if you're crappy, I was at a place where Again, I called in an order. I go in to pick it up. First of all, I got an attitude on the phone by the place. Can you hold, please? Okay. I held and held and held and held and held, and they never came back. So I finally called back, and she calls and goes, hi, can you hold, please? I said, whoa. I said, I did a minute ago. You never came back. Well, I did, but you had hung up.
Oh, my gosh.
And then when I go in to pick it up, they're like, hello?
Yeah.
No. I'm not giving you a tip. First of all, you're crappy to me.
A tip is for good service. Good service. Not for handing a box through a window. Sorry.
That you had nothing to do with making, even, probably.
Yeah, you had nothing to do with probably putting it in the box. Oh, man.
So, I was just like, am I the bad guy here?
No. Stop tipping at drive-thrus. Stop it. Because of you, we all get harassed by them. I'm sorry.
And stop giving people on corners money, too, by the way.
Oh, definitely.
With their little cardboard sign, don't give them money.
Don't give them money.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.